A week solidarity Brekkie team listener win. Let's start with this week's inadvertently underpaid workers report. The overwhelming difficulties traversing the labyrinth that is awards and conditions, highlighted yet again as salt, sugar and fat contributed to public health, Domino's how to market rubbish, and Melbourne Uni inadvertently underpaid workers, albeit by as little as millions and millions of dollars. Week after week, we learn how difficult it is for caring employers to get their pay systems correct, forcing the poor employers to repay millions and millions, showing how greedy and avaricious are workers and evil unions when a bit of sympathy with their bosses would not go astray. They've been paid. Okay, a little less, well, more than a little less than they should have been paid, but look to the future, not the past. Sympathy that would not go astray, unlike the millions they're owed. Why, if they had been inadvertently overpaid, would the caring employer ask them to pay it back? Of course not. Well, probably not, because we've not had an example to test it. The difficulties pay departments encounter obviously force them to underpay 100%, overpay 0%, and the new Socialist Party caring business class relations bill will do nothing to make caring employers' lives better, let me tell you. Although, I don't have to tell you. The caring employers themselves have explained with their renowned logic that a bill the government claims will contribute to higher wages and improved conditions will in fact make workers worse off, and indeed will cost jobs and destroy the fine balance of the delicate flower that is the economy. The Productivity Commission, a neutral expert on these matters, warned that multi-employer bargaining achieved much lower productivity than single-employer bargaining, in which caring employers and lazy avaricious workers sit down as equals and reach a win-win agreement. And we all know that, one, productivity is the secret to solving the problem of slow wages growth, and two, we have proof, we have seen over many years how single employer bargaining has done so much to improve workers' lives. The win-win the employing class eulogises. Apart from failing to improve wages and conditions, which shows how workers are just not being productive enough. Sadly, that commie long-haired breakaway evil union, the retail and fast food workers' evil union, wants to make things even worse for workers, criticising the relaxation of the boot, better off overall test in the bill, claiming it will allow caring employers to exploit workers, showing how removed from reality is this evil union, as if caring employers would exploit workers. According to out-of-control union boss, unlike good real bosses, evil boss Josh Cohenan, the wording of the legislation means caring employers could make their future workforces worse off, leading to, how's this for nonsense, rotten deals. Millions of low-paid workers will have billions of dollars stripped from them. A classic case of class envy where there is no class other than in the minds of people like Josh Cohenan. Thankfully, he was put in his place by one of the great minds and week that was favourite, True Blue Aussie Industry Profits Group Supremo Innes Will Cost the Workers, who accused him of jumping at shadows. The bill sensibly proposes that the Commission's application of the boot would be focused on working arrangements. Approval of agreements should not be delayed by concerns over entirely hypothetical scenarios. Doesn't Innes talk sense? And if Innes agrees the legislation allowing some workers to be worse off under the better off overall test is a positive, non-hypothetical scenario not jumping at shadows, and an out-of-control evil union boss disagrees, we know who to trust. And I apologise for referring to the employing class, which could suggest there are class differences in our classless society. Sorry, Innes. On a positive front, the government has already indicated it could amend the dangerous legislation to appease caring employers' concerns. And we know we can look forward to a highly intelligent debate, exemplified by comments from Senator Jackie Lumpen. Give more power to unions? Seriously? seriously a worry. Jackie Lumpen, working class woman, former train killer cannon fodder who deifies train killing and trained killers, upbraided by unions having more power. A deep comprehension of the issues. So we look forward to an intelligent academic debate. It's distressing how evil unions continue to paint caring employers as exploiters, despite caring employers constantly telling us their sole raison d'etre is to create jobs and provide incomes for dear little families and increase wages if only they could solve the problem of slow wages growth. And then if there is a little profit at the end of it, so be it. Yet, that Josh Cullinan again, as an ethical fashion report by a Dear Baby Jesus church showed but 1 in 10 clothing brands pay a living wage, obviously indicating those workers are not productive enough, all they have to do is pull their fingers out, that Josh Cullinan complained about fashion retailers requiring workers to buy and wear current fashions at their own expense, which, wait for this, he claimed was unlawful. This wage theft is costing low-paid workers millions of dollars. It's scandalous, he raved. What's scandalous, Josh, is you're interfering in a win-win relationship between those caring employers and their workers they so care about. And the employers explained buying the latest product as a uniform is only encouraged. Oh, so if they don't, then they are free not to. It's up to them if they want to keep their job. See, freedom of choice. And Apple became so sick of workers rejecting their generous offer, workers who wanted the world like a meaningful pay rise and at least one weekend off ever so occasionally, it decided to bypass the union and hold a vote of its workers whom it too so cares about. And what do you know? Showing why Apple has so opposed and fought against workers joining a union, they bloody well voted against their caring employer and held strikes, led on once again by this Josh Cullinan, who described this disrespect for Apple as a massive victory, and then, oh dear, then said strike action is the most simple and best way they can impact on management. Criminal strikes. Sadly, therefore, for the time being, she'll not be Apple's. Emphasising again how threatening this caring business class relations bill is, a couple of recent editorials in the totally unbiased, objective, True Blue Aussie Capitalist Review headlined, Workplace Bill is captured by the past, IR agenda going backwards on productivity, pay, and on another matter, another headline, Winding Back the Stage 3 Tax Cuts, a backward step. Showing how dangerous would be a wage rise for lazy Aboriginal workers and how progressive would be putting more wealth into the pockets of the not lazy, not Aboriginal, indeed altruistic, filthiest rich of the filthy rich. See common sense, balance, win-win yet again. One Capitalist Review journo wrote a think piece arguing lower taxes for the filthy rich would mean they would no longer avoid paying tax. A major admission on one hand, but also hands up anyone who thinks lowering taxes would mean the filthy rich would actually pay some. Told you it was a think piece. Speaking of the proud profession of train killing, good to see us giving any enemy of the US, of the UN, of the US, of the world a few extra targets to nuke as we add US of nuclear bombers to the Marines, send in the Marines, marauding our north to our long-term target Pine Gap. Four Corners Monday told us how we are being kept safe as the US of, and therefore True Blue Aussie, prepare for train killing. War games just everywhere, and I was impressed by shots of US of and True Blue Aussie train killers preparing to defend us by rampaging through bush with huge tanks bulldozing trees. Obviously flora, collateral damage. And we were encouraged by the news that Pine Gap is expanding rapidly, preparing for the train killing that is peace. Train killing to keep us safe. Encouraging to note the difference with the socialist government as Minister for Being Offensive and Train Killing Richard Duffer replaces caring business class Minister for Constable Peter Maul's the bad guys. Never mind. The big difference is one still has some hair and the other one doesn't. In common, they seem to spend a lot of time scratching an itch as they itch to go to. I'm old enough to recall when Hair was a musical, rock musical as they called it, about flowers in your hair, peace, love, anti-train killing, and one-hit wonder Scott McKenzie. If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. Now, thanks to the trillions of dollars keeping us safe, be sure to wear a flak jacket. This is hard to believe, listener. Well, because it can't possibly be true, but one commentator on the ABC this week said the special relationship the US of and True Blue Aussie boast is based on True Blue Aussie doing whatever the US of orders us to do. What an insult to the independence of Peter Moore's The Bad Guys, or Richard, or whatever their name is, and Big Supremo Anthony Albanese, who, no, peace relies on True Blue Aussie providing nuclear targets to protect the US of and enrich the US of merchants of death industry. The US of urged Brazilians to respect the ballot box and accept Lula, the long-haired commie, elected, even though the losers know he didn't really win. Leave undermining the new government to us, they assured them. Confirming the sensitivity with which our, police our indigenous people, the Western True Blue Aussie Forces of Law and Order Supremo declared indigenous schoolboy Cassius Turvey had been in the, wrong place at the wrong, time. So obviously his murderer, alleged murderer, there must be a possibility he bashed himself to death, his alleged murderer was in the right place at the, right time. All this while ongoing coroner's inquiry in Northern True Blue Aussie illustrates the cultural and racist, racial awareness of the constabulary. Occasionally, some events do generate long-needed, long-overdue change, and the response to this tragedy across the country may hopefully. The second rung of health advisors, public health officials, have warned we face another wave of COVID infections with yet another strain. But good news, governments will act on the advice of the first rung of health advisors, the sundry chambers of profits, who assure us if we burn our masks, do not isolate or stay at home if we catch COVID, go to work no matter how unwell we feel, go shopping and spend, their economic health will thrive. Although they do warn the dead that they should not go to work. Oh, and second-rung medical officials, public health officials, what would they know, don't provide daily update reports which could undo our faith in the above sensible health advice. Finally, with all these worries making life so miserable for the filthiest rich, delightful to see them, it warms our hearts to see them enjoying a little bit of respite in the corporate marquees at Flemington, enjoying a little bit of fine food and wine and spirits, brackets free, unlike the overpriced crap for the plebs watching on in the common outer, who also have to pay to get in, a little respite behind the flood levy so kindly approved by a previous socialist government minister called Hulls, this one either going or not going to water, while other plebs upstream and downstream wallow in the mud. Good morning.